I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my.
Lots of
love's in the air. Dun, dun, or maybe dun, not. Dun,
dun. Well, it's in the air maybe for us, woo! Not for these Love is Blind couples.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Man, this week we finally got into the real tea on Love is Blind. If you're tuned in right now, we are here at AfterBuzz TV breaking down Love is Blind episode 6.
Oh, we're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, rocking and rolling. Yeah.
This is getting good.
It really is. I mean, after the Carlton and Diamond fight, I think the show totally kicked it up a notch. Great. And I'm so excited to break it all down with you. First and foremost, let's introduce you to the panel. All the way at the far end here, we have Mike Feeling.
What's up, guys? Like, this is the reason, this episode is the reason we watch these shows.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Wrestling over here next to me is finally figuring it out.
I guess so. I thought love was so pure and uncut and amazing, but this just makes me so angry how love is being treated.
This is real. This is real love. This is real love.
I guess so.
Not blind, fully seeing, 20/20 vision.
I'm just too optimistic for my own good.
It's okay. I might be the pessimist over here.
Pessimism!
Yeah, if you're listening to my voice, this is Christine Alexis, and I'm here to break down Love is Blind with y'all. Woo-hoo. All right, guys. I think we need to dive right in because there was a lot of good tea. Starting with where we meet the couples at this farewell brunch. They're getting ready to leave their little resort getaway.
Peace out, Mexico.
And say peace out and get into the real world.
All the time when I leave Mexico. Yes.
Oh, you just casually traveled to Mexico. Mexico.
Welcome back to Atlanta.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Easy transition.
Yeah.
Well, this is our second transition now out of the pods and now out of Mexico and really to the point of the show where we've been dying to see. Like,
yeah.
Mike's over there.
We let the specimens out of their experiment pods into the wilds of Mexico, and now they are back to the jungle of Atlanta.
Thanks, Nick Lachey.
Yeah. We got
another appearance by Nick and Vanessa Lachey doing a sick job as hosts.
Great job. I mean, they're sprinkled in here and there for color, you know? But they did, come to talk to the couples and get their mindset right going into this next chapter.
Sure.
Start thinking about if your relationship is going to survive the real world, whether it be race, religion, social media, friends, playing a different factor in how their bonds will survive.
If getting their mindset right, you mean shoveling on the self-doubt into Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely what they did.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head because for the most part, everyone seemed pretty excited about this, except for Jessica. She, from the onset, was very open about how scared she was to go back and be Mark's 10 years his senior, his girlfriend.
Somebody needs to let Mark in on the secret that we all know about Jessica.
It's not a secret. He knows it too, but in an episode.
He's still excited.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, they kind of make it clear at this point, too, that the couple still have a chance to walk away from this experiment at any given time.
Thank God.
Imagine.
It's so interesting because it almost seems so, finite and final when we first met these couples. Mm. And now it seems like there is a lot of wiggle room and gray area for them to decide if it isn't the right thing for them.
Sure.
That's absolutely great.
Imagine that. I mean, what's the divorce rate in our, country right now or in the world right now? Imagine the people who fell in love after hearing each other's voice for 3 days. The possibility. Is splitting up.
I believe in all of it. I did. Come on. I did.
Oh, God. Well, there's truly two couples that dominated this episode, so we really want to spend more time talking about them. But real quick, I want to get into Lauren and Cameron first. We got to check in with our old faithful couple here.
Yeah.
Who's been going strong thus far.
Yeah.
Nice house, Cameron.
Yeah.
Cool house.
Cameron really flexes this episode.
Yeah.
just getting into this topic.
Yeah.
Before the couples move into the new apartment that they're going to be sharing together, in the same complex with the other couples, they have an opportunity to go home and pick up some stuff from their respective houses to decorate their new place together. What did you guys think about this?
They were way too surprised that they were all moving into the same complex together. I was like, have you guys never watched these shows? This is literally what happens.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to be in the same complex so they don't have to drive that far to film you guys. They just wander around and then you can all still get together and have awkward Jessica Barnett interactions. It's like, obviously.
Patent pending? That's what
come on, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they seem pretty surprised. I like the idea of going back to the homes and whatnot, but I don't know, man. Cameron just seems more and more like a romantic comedy leading man, sensitive.
I sense some shade with that a little.
I'm just not in a bad way. It's just kind of like he's been that guy. Like, man, what can he do wrong? Like, he's almost good.
Yeah, look, the three couples, because we have five total couples now, right? The three couples that are going completely great I mean, I guess Barnett. Look, Damien, Cameron, and Kenny. Mm. They're all a little bit awkward. I think they're all pretty nice guys. They mm-hmm. seem pretty nice and in it for the right reasons, right? Bachelors Tonight, of course. They're in it for the right reasons, that kind of stuff. But they're all just a little bit awkward. And I got to give it up to them and give them the benefit of the doubt. The cameras around them, that's weird, 24/7, right? All this kind of stuff. For the most part, though, they're just really solid. Romantic lead, I could see it. He's really into it, getting emotional. They're a great couple.
Yeah.
This might be me playing into stereotypes a little too much, but Cameron is, by trade, a scientist. So I would expect a guy like that to be a lot more sheepish and maybe not as... you know, social as he has been lately and very expressive with emotion. So I kind of like that about him. I like where he's at.
It makes sense, though. He's pretty analytical. You know, he's saying, okay, move into my house, empty room. She needs office. Give her office. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some of the analytical stuff going on, but he's got mushy stuff. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, they're pretty solid. Yeah. There was, like, a little bit of, like, tension for a hot second when Lauren mentioned potentially keeping her own apartment while they work out their future together. Yeah. But
that's manufactured drama. Nothing weird is going to happen with them until we get into the episode that we saw in the preview with her parents.
Sure.
And the interracial relationship kind of question or whatever starts to come up.
I don't know. As somebody who's kind of like an ambivert, it is kind of jarring or kind of off kilter when someone says, hey, I want to share a space, even though you've been single for so long, you're kind of used to having your own little corner.
Of course. Yeah, no, it's an adjustment. It's a big adjustment.
Definitely. I related to her on that note because I know as myself, having lived with roommates, I mean, maybe it's a little different. She's living by herself, but moving in with a significant other, that is like a whole other step
It's very different.
It's very, very different. The only thing I had to note about Lauren and Cameron is in an off-camera interview, or just out of that moment, rather, Cameron gets really emotional talking about his past relationship, saying that it was plagued by problems that they could never get past, but he feels like everything is different with Lauren. Right. So, to your point, maybe we'll get some drama when we meet the family, but I'm hoping maybe we learn more about that, because that brought out such an emotional reaction from him that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, falling in love is always scary. And again, his backstory was kind of analytical. So she really wasn't sure what made him tick. So if this is his backstory, if that's like this, he's still to pull from, I'm all on board, because we can know more about why they didn't work out and why he's so cautious with her today.
They haven't had their first fight yet either.
Yeah.
That's really big in a relationship, especially one that's going to last. You're not going to agree on everything. You're going to fight about something at some point. My wife and I fight about the same stupid stuff over and over again. It's small, you know, dumb stuff. So until you have... What's that?
Go on.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Stupid stuff. No, like you stupid stuff like dishes and things, you know, stupid. Yeah. But until you have like that first actual fight, it is still like rosy and stuff. At some point, the whole kind of honeymoon phase, you become real people. It's like, I don't like it when you leave your dishes there.
Right.
So it's something. So they haven't had that yet. So once they have that, then we'll see a different flavor of their relationship.
I'm excited to see it because, you know, relationships are multifaceted. It's like you said, it's not always going to be cute all the time.
No.
And you almost run that risk of like, it's like you want to extend the honeymoon phase because it feels nice, but you almost want to get the first fight out the way because it's almost like the longer you wait, it might end up being something much bigger that you didn't see maybe the first time around.
Sure.
Yeah.
At least that's my mindset.
I learned something new today.
Maybe. we're going to skip over Kelly and Kenny because Kelly couldn't make it to the next...
Smartest girl on the show.
Kelly had a business trip.
Skip off to work.
Yeah. She had a business trip in San Diego, so she couldn't make it to move in with Kenny right away. So we really didn't see much of them this episode.
A little awkward FaceTime.
A little bit, but it seems like they're keeping the communication alive.
Yeah.
Something that other couples are having a lot of trouble with this episode.
They seem pretty solid, too. They need their first fight as well. We haven't seen as much of them, but they seem sweet, all their interactions.
Well, whenever they do get to fighting, we'll be here to break it down.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that we break down on this network.
Mike, hit it.
Yes, we break down TV shows across all the genres and categories, everything you guys love here on AfterBuzz. So if you guys are watching us on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to all the different AfterBuzz channels. Give us a big thumbs up. If you're listening to us on iTunes or any of your preferred podcasting services, give us a big 5-star review. Let us know that you did in the comments down below. We've been reading all your comments on the past videos for Love is Blind. We love it. You guys are our extended panel. Thank you so much for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes.
Ding. Oh, a da-da. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes. Da-da. Da-da. And moving on to Giannina and Damien. Yeah, they're, well, you know what? Actually, we're going to come back to them because more of their drama happens a little bit later on in the episode.
What happens when the sexy time breaks down and stuff gets real.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most deepest thing you've ever said.
Yeah. I really want to get into Amber and Barnett, at least the first part of their drama this episode, because when they do go to each other's houses to kind of... actually, no, we only go to Barnett's house. Amber meets his dog, Coda. They look through his messy bedroom. But eventually they get to the nitty-gritty conversation here about financial planning.
Yeah, shout out to all the dogs because they're the best characters in all of these episodes. They're just the most well-adjusted people. Yeah.
Coda's super cute. Mm-hmm. I personally love big dogs, so I'm here for that. The foo-foo ones are cute too, but like the big ones you can like run around with and...
I like the lap dogs.
You like the lap dogs?
Yeah, I put Bam Bam on my lap and we hug and then he goes to sleep and I do work and stuff. I don't know. It's just a friendship.
Where do you stand on this, Flo?
Dogs terrify me. But thanks for asking.
No.
Yeah, I'm actually afraid of dogs. Yeah, yeah.
Did you play with the dog?
What?
I'm actually afraid. I just said I'm afraid of them.
I mean, we could do some immersion therapy here. Like, pet a nice dog.
Yeah, I've been tasked with petting when people do this, but I try to avoid them because they all get me nervous.
Wow. Yeah, if you're watching our show right now, drop like a support group link in the comments for Flobo so we can get him.
Because Flobo needs to experience the unconditional love of a dog.
If I was afraid of spiders, no problem. But
Because no spider has unconditional love for you like a dog.
Tarantulas do.
What?
I'm just kidding. Can we move on, please? It's kind of awkward. I thought it was kind of interesting.
We found something.
It was interesting because Cameron was like, oh, man, my room is messy. But then it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I have all this debt and all this student loan things. I feel like it was kind of uneven there.
Right. Well, we're talking about Barnett. When they get in the kitchen, they start talking.
Yeah.
Amber says some things. She starts revealing some things about her financial status right now. She very clearly says that her credit is average but not bad. She says that she only has one credit card right now that she mainly uses to purchase makeup.
totally.
And that she has $20,000 worth of student loan debt.
Right.
She goes on to explain that she used to be homeless at a point. She couch surfs. And she makes it very clear that she works to live and not lives to work. Can we talk about the kind of just feeling that came that washed over Barnett when she started talking about this? Because I read him as very uncomfortable by receiving this information.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm not saying Barnett's looking for someone to be his balance, but I think he was supposed to be the one that's going to find someone to be good or homey in that level. Having someone that's like almost a free spirit can put someone off a kilter. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, in a relationship, finances are going to come up. That's money is a classic thing the couples fight about. It's this necessary evil in life, right, that we all got to deal with. So it's absolutely not a deal breaker, especially if at least one person in the relationship is intelligent about money. Mm-hmm. If one person is intelligent about money, you can help fix the other person's issues because the problems that she has are easily fixable. They're not a big deal. You just have to have a little bit of sense in what you're doing and how to handle and manage money. So I have a lot of tips if anybody would like it. The first one is that let's give a big tip.
What's the big tip?
This is a big Mike's tip. On Survivor, we do Mike's tips. This is a big tip. In this day and age, in 2020, everything that you guys buy should be on a credit card, okay? Everything should be on a credit card, and you should pay that credit card off 100% every month because you should be earning points or whatever rewards for the money that you're spending. Mm. Buying stuff in cash does you no good, right? You should be getting miles, you should be airplane miles, some kind of points for money you're spending, but you should be paying that credit card off 100% every month. So if you need a little bit more of a budget, it should still be going on the credit card. She should have more than one credit card that she does makeup with because that will also help boost her credit score back up.
Wow, free seminar. Love it.
Yeah, definitely love that free game over here. Thanks, mm-hmm. Mike. But I want to say...
Finance.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you in the sense that, like, yeah, these are easily fixable, but I personally wouldn't enter into a relationship with somebody knowing that they had that mindset. Because you can maybe teach somebody how to manage their money a little bit better, but you're going into this with someone whose mindset is already, like, not thinking about surplus. She very clearly says that she only works enough to just get by.
Right.
She wants to live her life to the fullest.
Yeah.
While I don't knock her for that, I don't think that's, like, I wouldn't go into a situation like that with someone who doesn't share the same values that I have about money.
To me, that's more of a mindset about life and not even so much about money. That's more of a mindset of I'm not ready to settle down. I'm not looking for, you know, a family in the future. Maybe they don't want kids, whatever. That's a future planning. If you did have that mindset, which is this is really what I was trying to say before. If you do have that future mindset and whatever, you can fix the straight dollars and cents problem or debt or credit. That's fixable. But yeah, if your mindset is I'm just burning the candle at both ends, and I'm running till the wheels fall off, and I don't care about money, and I'm not gonna be here past 40 anyway. So, but I need my then you're not on the same page.
I guess what still bothers me is that she said that she plans on living at his house and being a stay at home mom. So like to me, right. It's like
you're trying to.
That could very well be what Barnett wants to. Like he didn't really elaborate a lot on that. Yeah. Maybe that's something they talked about in the pods that we haven't really talked about yet on camera, but I see him wanting, he said he wanted a partner, both said they wanted like someone who, yeah, there's different roles in what you do day to day, but it just doesn't seem to me like she's willing to support in
that way.
You
have to come to agreement with something like that. If someone already has a plan of being a stay-at-home parent and you're like, no, I thought it would be a dual income or kind of a situation, it's a whole different dynamic. And so even if it's a plan, it should be planned ahead of time.
It's absolutely, at the very least, a conversation. I think
a big one.
In this day and age, we tend to vilify, to an extent, stay-at-home parents. There's nothing wrong with that being your kind of aspiration and what you want. Everybody doesn't have to be like, well, I don't care about the kid. Like, I'm career-focused. Like, that's it and whatever and blah. If that's your aspiration to be the bomb mom or dad who stays at home and with the kid, that's awesome. You just need to be with the other person, your partner, who's on the same page. Like, absolutely, I value my partner staying home with the kids all the time so we don't have to use babysit, and I'm willing to shoulder the financial burden so that we can do that and the kids. Everybody's just got to be on the same page, and it's whatever works for that specific family, right?
Agreed. No, I agree. And if that's what they want, because also, she did say that she was homeless for a while. She was couch surfing. Being a stay-at-home mom would definitely be a sense of stability. Like, that is your clock in, day in, day out job, living there with the kids.
But if the whole thing is like, yeah, I don't want any responsibilities and I never want to work, so I just found you to pay for me, that probably not on the same level with that. Yeah,
I just think we need more conversations between these two about a very, very sensitive issue here.
Luckily, they get into some great conversations. Birthday party.
Yeah, but before we get to the party, we do check in with Mark and Jessica, the couple that we love to hate at this point.
Let's check in with them. The whole show could be them, pretty much.
You guys shattered my innocence. I really thought this show was going to be nice.
You don't watch relationship reality shows at all.
No, I just have so much faith in actual people.
It's really fun to see someone like experience this for the first time and kind of not realizing that something was going to go drastically south.
At least in wrestling, I know it's going to be some act of violence or a cage match or something, but geez.
Christine and I were just waiting for this to fall apart. Something has to happen.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we've grown to count on with Jessica at the very least is that she's always going to have a bottle of wine before discussing something really, really important with her partner. That's actually one of the biggest notes that I wrote down about Mark and Jessica. And I don't want to seem like I'm shaming her, but I guess it's going to just come off that way.
Shame.
I just don't think it's a smart idea when you're already on the fence about how you feel about somebody to just get super drunk before discussing sensitive topics, because I'm sure maybe you think you need some liquid courage, but again, a lot of things will get lost in translation with that. And I personally hate that kind of approach.
Absolutely. Alcohol becomes a coping mechanism. And the last thing you want to see is someone go, hey, let's have some intimate time. But first, let me have a couple shots. And you're feeling like, I'm not good enough to find you sober. What's the real you?
You know, people say that alcohol is social lubricant when you go out to bars and clubs or whatever. It's like she's using relationship lubricant, not in a fun way.
And that's not a good sign.
It's not at all. Like, I'll give a quick overview of what happened, because it's more fun for us to talk about it. So obviously it's Barnett's birthday. So Mark and Jessica had their little conversation. They went over to Mark's house. They met his roommates, and Jessica was beyond shocked that no one cared that she was older than it. Like, she's the only one that cares about this age difference, right? Because as Flobo and I were talking on the side during the episode, unless you bring someone home that's like 40 years older than you or something, no one's gonna be like, wow, bro, like, how old is she? No one cares. No one cares. So they get done with that nonsense, right? And then we go to Barnett's birthday, where Jessica proceeds to get lit up and then goes and has like a real heart to heart with him for no reason. Like, I just want to be sure you and Amber are okay, because I've never really gotten over us, and you were really into me before.
Is it a heart to heart? Cameron's like whatever. Cameron. Barnett's like, whatever.
Yeah, Barnett's like, what the hell is what's wrong with you?
Jessica definitely had a couple glasses and used it as an opportunity to just go on and on, like, really disrespecting her own relationship by talking to Barnett in this way.
In front of everybody. Like, everybody knows that you have a thing for Barnett. Absolutely. Okay? And now we just see you guys off talking. She's real close to him, like, touchy, whatever. Yeah. We know she's multiple bottles. I don't know about it. Okay, she's got a lot of wine in her because she's slurring around. It's obvious. She's going to feel really bad about this when she sees it air. Because this is just not good optics, no matter what side you're on. If Barnett literally is the only person for you, it does not look good. It doesn't matter. Right. It's disrespectful to Mark, who's been nothing but like an amazing gentleman to her the entire time.
Absolutely. I mean, you have this guy who is, a quote, so emotionally available, it's a red flag.
Right.
What?
And they had
that what you want?
They got that conversation where we find out that Jessica can truly do math. And in 15 years from now, when our kid is 14, and I'm 60, you're going to be 50. No matter how you slice it, there's still going to be 10 years difference.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I want to definitely get into that conversation because we kind of skipped that talking about the party. When they were at Jessica's house, there was another moment she'll probably regret, which is giving her dog wine on camera.
Yeah. Hello. Woo. Don't ridiculous. Feed your dogs alcohol.
But
Mike's tips.
I mean, that should be life tips.
That's two today.
You should know about this.
I got plenty.
I'm sure some trendy content creator in LA has probably developed dog wine by now or something.
Oh, no, that was on Shark Tank.
Right.
Cat wine was on Shark Tank.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure it was grape juice.
We were serving to her poor dog. But no, they do get into this kind of conversation doing the math.
The dog needed some alcohol to deal with her.
Yeah.
She's like, I know. I'm a bit much.
They get into it. And, you know, another touchy subject that they spoke about was the fact that Mark is really relating a lot of their relationship struggles to like his parents,
right,
and kind of forward looking about how he wants to be with someone who's like his mom, and that doesn't really sit well with Jessica.
Yeah.
This is a tricky situation because I'm going to call BS on maybe some editing here because this is the first time we've heard them talk about it, but Jessica seems very bothered and by the fact that she's heard about this a lot from Mark.
Right.
Now as a woman, I will side with her and say, when a man talks a lot about his mom and puts his mom on a pedestal, it's both endearing and both nerve-wracking because those are huge, huge shoes to fill.
Yeah,
and
it goes both ways.
It goes both ways, and I want to give her the benefit of the doubt here that maybe she's encountered this situation before and fell short to someone's expectations, comparing herself to their mom. So I can see why she had a very like negative reaction and kind of shut that down right away when he started talking about it.
It wasn't a shutdown. And this is why I was so upset with that exchange. It wasn't just being like, I'm not your mom. It was this repeated, I am not your mom. I know she's good by you. I can't believe you like her, but this is not what it is. It could be editing. I hope it's editing. But this guy just misspoke and got shut down so handedly and so decisively. Why would he even come back and be like, I still like you?
I got two things for this.
Okay.
One, the things I believe the majority of instances where we've seen him discuss his mom in this kind of context that we're talking about is in reaction to her asking a question. Well, how would you do this with our relationship? He's like, well, I kind of learned from seeing from my mom, and this is how I would handle it. So that's not like, hey, let me proactively tell you how amazing my mom is and why you're not being like it. She wants to know, how would you deal with this? He's like, I think my mom's the best example. Okay, so that lessens it to me. Additionally, the second thing is I can't take the mom conversation by itself. To me, the entire conversation is Jessica trying to get reasons for him to break up with her or something. Mm. She's like, well, you know, we're still going to be 10 years apart when I'm 60. And wait, what about when our kids are 17 and then I'm 65? You're going to be 55. How do you think about that? Like, he's already said the age doesn't matter to him. So she just keeps like poking and prodding to try to bring anything up. And sorry, I don't know if you're ready to skip ahead to this, but it's the same thing when they got into bed.
Yeah, later.
That's the same thing that happened.
We can go ahead and jump to that because we are running short on time. Later on after the party and, you know, after Mark is very much aware that Jessica is drunk and was acting very inappropriately.
Right.
When they get into bed, he kind of broaches the conversation like, what's up? You good? And then it quickly spirals into a fight about the same issue. And she literally goes on a roller coaster of being like, okay, I love you. Like, things are okay. And then going off and saying they're too dissimilar. I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. And she, Sorry, save me she's, here. I'm looking at Giannina. Okay,
that fight with the whole Giannina thing, she right. was, and Mark Porsa, he said misspoke and said, you're a close
yes,
second. And
she
was like, what do you mean a close second? I can't believe you said that. He goes, I'm not saying that.
He said Giannina's a close second.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because Jessica says Giannina is amazing. She's the right. best. Yeah. And then Mark says, well, she's a close second. You know, if she was sober, it's obviously like because you're the best. Like she's good, right. but not as good as you. So she took this to she projected her own personality of just being in love with somebody else, and she's saying Mark is now in love with Giannina, which is not like we've never seen them even talk to each right. other, right? Yeah. And so she projected and gave him so much crap for that, and then it finally came out. I think Barnett is sexy and cool and blah blah blah, and then Mark rightly hightailed it to the couch.
Right. Did you think he was right in doing that?
Dude, bounce out of the apartment.
I think leave. You know what? It's at the point now where it's like that couch there does seem like an admission of I'm going to give her a night to cool off. If that was really Mark, that's the time you walk away. And it's not even so much the disrespect to your face until everyone that you're not the same. He said it in the taped confession earlier. You said yes to me twice. Mm-hmm. Why is it a problem now? So
1,000%.
I can't fault him being upset.
How much longer is he going to have to hear about Barnett and then see her talking to him like one-on-one, really quiet with wine? This stuff's blaringly obvious. They're all in this time. You have been in these communal apartment building rooms. They're not gigantic, right?
Right.
Everybody knows what's going on. It's really obvious. And then for her to, he didn't say like, wow, Giannina is looking pretty hot, and I know they're having sex a lot. Like, I'm kind of jealous. No, right? She brought the girl up anyway. But Jessica straight up, like, Barnett's hot and sexy and cool, and he's really more my, like.
Yeah.
And Christine brought up the perfect point. It was at his birthday.
When he was turning another year older. Right.
And closer to her. Right.
It's what she wanted. I mean, during their conversation at the party, she kept going on about the fact that if they were together, they'd have a better emotional connection. True. Again, constantly looking out for Barnett's best interests instead of focusing on her own connection with Mark. It's ridiculous. It's so obvious that she picked the wrong guy. And at this point,
she picked him.
She picked the guy.
He was like, no.
Well,
I don't
mean,
want
well,
you.
That she's, yeah,
she picked
she
the
settled.
Right guy, and that a guy is liking her and devoted to her. Just that it's not the package she wants. It's not Barnett.
Right. But now there is someone else in this equation, and that's Amber, who is very. She's just starting to lose her patience with this situation.
That's
and
right,
I do not blame her. Because last episode, it went from it's laughable that Jessica could think she could take Barnett away from me to. I'm going to cut that girl if she gets any closer to my face, man. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's my meal ticket. I'm just saying no.
That confrontation is certainly building.
That's going to be awesome.
And I take Amber as someone who's a little rough around the edges and who's going to...
Former tank mechanic? Yeah. She can swing a wrench.
She'll get into it. She's just as feisty as someone like Giannina, who we saw went off on Damien towards the end of this episode and left us in a cliffhanger. So
that was silly, too. Do we want to do two comments on that?
We got a quick second
Go.
To comment on that.
Giannina and Damien.
I mean, the fight, like you were saying, the fight when they're having is always good, healthy for growth, but it came out of nowhere. Damien made a wrong joke that was a bit off color that went over like a fart in church, and he got an argument that totally cut him down to the woman he loves. It's hard to say.
I think Lauren completely misinterpreted what he said.
Yeah.
I agree.
Lauren was like, it's weird for me to move into a new space as someone who's always been single. And he was basically like, yeah, I can see that. Not saying you're a terrible person who obviously doesn't deserve love. He was
right.
like, I can see it being weird if you're single and moving into a new space.
Beady eyes, man.
Yeah, and the whole thing got blown out of proportion and silly. But at least they've had their first fight because they've been a very physical relationship only. Now they've had their first fight, so we'll see. And they swung. Kind of hard.
They swung hard for
you
their first fight.
You always self-sabotage and blah, 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 and she's calling him an MF. Like, yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, Giannina was quick to start throwing out, you know, bad words, which I know, I mean, different things are triggers for different people, but
Caracas.
That's a bad place to start to have that kind of angry reaction right
Yikes.
Away.
It'll in front of everybody.
Well, it's always a flag when someone says you're not letting me talk. If that's the case, you know that's a fire that's about to burn.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, a lot of bad communication this episode all around. When drinks are involved, this cast does not know how to handle themselves.
Happy birthday, Barnett.
Happy birthday, Barnett.
We need some drinks on this panel.
Yeah,
we
great.
Sure do. Let us know in the comments if you want to see us get a little lit while we talk about this.
Oh, that'll be a unanimous yes.
That'll be unanimous.
I mean, come on.
Just kidding, guys.
We tape this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hey, Mike's tips.
Well, we will be back to recap the next episode when Netflix drops it really fairly soon. So stay tuned to this channel. In the meantime, you guys can catch up with all of our previous recaps. They're up right now on this channel. And you can always find us here every week recapping the show. Until then, you can find me on social media at Christine Bean. Flobo, where can everyone find you?
You guys can find me over on YouTube, youtube.com/C/FloboVoice. Subscribe!
Yeah. And flobito.com.
Every week, new content.
Guys, thank you so much for watching. We love your comments. Keep putting them down there. We'd love to respond to you. Give you guys some shout outs. My name is Mike Thielen. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thielen.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Love each other. Ugh.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.